Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
If you've ever been part of a startup, whether that be a startup company or a new church plant, then you know firsthand that there's a lot that needs deciding. Welcome to Through the Bible with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. The Bible Bus is well on our way through the New Testament book of Acts as today we look at the issues that face the early church. Like a startup company, the new church needed to establish some core values and guidelines for operation. We'll find out more about what those issues were, and just so you know, Luke called the issue no small dispute. So let's be prepared to watch how godly people disagree and how to resolve conflict. So if you can, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, and the Bible Bus will be on our way. And to help you get more out of the journey, we'd like to send you Dr. McGee's notes and outlines, along with our monthly newsletter. Call 1-800-65-BIBLE and let us know that you'd like to get them. Or you can download them anytime, including the one for Acts, available for free at ttb.org. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy that you give to your children, even when we disagree. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and give us eyes to see your word now in all its beauty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, last time we concluded the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And they've been into the Galatian country. And in the Galatian country, they have now gone to Gentiles 100%. Now, the church faces its first crisis because there were those that were believers, that were Israelites, many of them priests, and they felt like they could not give up the Mosaic law. That is, as it touched certain things like the outward trappings, the ritual of it, circumcision, observing the Sabbath day, more or less following the Mosaic system, not the sacrifice probably, and yet they went to the temple at the feast days. They attempted to observe certain things. They would go through fasting, make certain vows, and that type of thing. They felt like now that Gentiles were coming in, that they should come through the Mosaic system. It'd be sort of initiation for them, that they, first of all, must be circumcised, that they must come in under the Mosaic system and follow that, and that they were to be saved by keeping the law. Now, that has reached the church in Jerusalem, the apostles now, must face up to this question, what are they going to do? So there is called in Jerusalem the first council of the church. And you will find that there have been certain outstanding councils of the church that have decided certain great issues about, for instance, the validity and inerrancy of Scripture. Another council has decided on the deity of Christ and the fact that he's both God and man. And then there have been councils since then. Somebody says we need a council today. We sure do. But you couldn't get the different groups together. You have to get them together either around the person of Christ or away from the person of Christ. And the church today is pretty much removed from the person of Christ. My friend, may I say that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very center of the church. And actually, it's not a question today of your ritual. It's not a question today of your membership. It's not a question of your ceremony. It's a question of your personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And I find today a great many people want to argue about rituals that personally are far removed from Christ. They don't fellowship with him. Sunday is they carry a big Bible under their arm and go to church and sing the songs lustily. But on Monday, the Lord Jesus is pretty far removed from them. May I say that he should occupy the very center of our lives and our attention. We should think of him constantly. You never should see a sunset without you think of him. He made it. You should not see a mountain And my friend, the situations of life today, the tensions and the anxieties, he ought to be brought into our daily living. That's very important. Now, let's come to this council of Jerusalem. And we find here that a very fine group have come together here. Now, they are convened to consider law versus grace or law versus liberty. Let me read just a few verses here to get us into this chapter. Chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, it's important to see what the issue really is. It's not a question of circumcision, whether you do it or whether you don't do it, or whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat. The question is, must you do these things in order to be saved? Now, we'll move on into this and penetrate a little deeper into their problem. When, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. Now, again, I call your attention to Dr. Luke's method of using the diminutive and saying, no small dissension. Well, that means this was a regular Donnybrook. It was a knock-down and drag-out affair. This was a heated debate that they had. Now, again, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, let's pause there for just a moment to look at something. The gospel now is under question. And if you want a full explanation of the council, you ought to read the epistle to the Galatians. We'll get to that later and we'll spend time with it. But actually, the gospel is used in two senses in the New Testament. There is, first of all, the facts of the gospel, and that's absolutely basic and essential. Paul gives that in 1 Corinthians 15, the first three verses. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the gospel. It's nothing but the gospel. Nothing else is the gospel. By the way, he makes that very, very clear. And we need to see that it centers around the person of Jesus Christ. Now, notice what he says here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Those are the facts of the gospel, and they concern the person of Christ. I move on down in 1 Corinthians 15 to verse 15. Paul says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Face up to it, brother. If Christ is not raised from the dead, we have no gospel today. But thanks be unto God, now is Christ raised from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Those are the facts of the gospel. Now, we have the second, and that is the interpretation of the facts. That's the basic truth that's in the epistle to the Galatians, and that is the crux of the whole matter at this first council of Jerusalem, that the gospel hinges on the fact that, as Paul says in Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that do what? Do nothing more nor less than believe. And again, in Galatians 2:15, he says, We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now that is important to see. The Judaizers in that day, and we need to see this, they are different than the liberals today. The liberal actually will deny the facts of the gospel. He'll deny that Jesus died for our sin. He can't quite deny that he died. Actually, of course, some today trying to make even Jesus Christ a myth, that he never lived, never died, of course. Well, the fact of the matter is, you just can't upset history quite like that. And they do deny the physical resurrection of Christ. But in that day, they did not deny it. There were too many witnesses. Paul could say, why, 500 witnesses saw him at one time. And my friends, if you get 500 witnesses to anything, you can go into court and win your case. No question about that. You can establish the fact with 500 witnesses. And besides, there are these apostles here. And they are there to testify. The facts of the gospel are not under question. It's the interpretation of those facts. The personal relationship of man to Jesus Christ is that. Should you go through the law? Christ, what he did for you on the cross, is that adequate to save you? Or do you have to go through a ritual or something? All right, now back to the 15th of Acts, and let's go with Paul and Barnabas up to Jerusalem. Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, Paul and Barnabas give a report to the church in Jerusalem as they had to the church in Antioch. They said, this is what we've done. We've preached the gospel, and men and women over in the Galatian country have trusted Christ. They know nothing about the Mosaic law. They've trusted Christ. They're saved. Now, verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, now these are Christians, but they differ, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now you see, they want to add something to the gospel. And friends, when you add something to the gospel, you don't have a gospel. You've got a religion. You do not have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only approach that you can make to Jesus Christ is by faith. You have to come to him by faith. No other way will he let you come. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's bottled the world into just this. And the only question God is asking the lost world today is just this. What do you do with my son who died for you? God doesn't come to you and give you a nice little Sunday school lesson and say, now I want you to be a good boy. I want you to join the church. I want you to go through this, that, and another thing. No wonder the thing has become a woman's religion with that. May I say to you, God is saying to you, my son died for you. What do you do with him? And your answer to that question will determine your eternal destiny. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, this is pretty important, you see, that they're discussing in Jerusalem. Now, listen to them. We're to counsel. This is really exciting, by the way. I don't know about you, but this is much better than a ball game. All right, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of the matter. Now, the apostles and the elders in the church in Jerusalem, they've come together. They're going to consider it. And when there had been much disputing, I don't think they didn't argue. They really argued there that day. Now notice, we're beginning now to sum it up. Simon Peter rose up and said unto them, if Simon Peter had kept quiet during all that disputing, he's a changed man, is all I can say. I'm of the opinion he had already put in his two bits worth before this. But now he's summing up, and he's going to do the thing he did. Well, this is the third time that he's gone over this with him. Well, he's suffering from the shock of it. He went in the home of a Gentile, preached the gospel without the law. They were uncircumcised. They didn't follow the Mosaic system. They ate pork. And yet they were saved. Notice this. Listen to Simon Peter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now they're going to listen to Simon Peter because he happens to be, and I say this kindly, I'll face him someday on this, and I am not going to say anything ugly about him. Well, he was rather narrow-minded. I don't think this man ever got very far away from the Mosaic system. Now, somebody says, ooh, and you mean he was saved? Yes, saved by grace. And whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, that makes no difference, friend. If you don't want to eat pork, don't eat it. And if you want to observe Saturday, you observe Saturday. That's all right. That's your business. But don't you try to tell me what to do, because I've been saved by grace, too. And I'll observe another day, and I'll eat ham when I decide to. If you want to know the truth, don't care too much for it. But the thing is, you have freedom in that connection. Listen to Simon Peter now. He said that Gentiles by my mouth heard the gospel and they believed. They were saved. Now, verse 8, And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by keeping the law? No. By going through a ceremony? No. By joining a church? No. By faith. By faith, friend. Simon Peter said, I went into the home of Cornelius. I gave them the facts of the gospel. What did they do? They believed. And they were saved. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. My friend, that's the way you get saved, by faith. And you don't have these things happen by you doing something. Jesus Christ did it all for you 1,900 years ago. And all God's asking you to do, what will you do with my son that died for you? That's the important question. Now listen to Simon Peter. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, Simon Peter makes a tremendous admission here. He said, if you want to know the truth, our fathers never kept the law. And I've made this statement, I'm sure many of you have heard us make it many times, and if you haven't, you will if you listen to the program. Did you know God never saved anybody by keeping the law? There's not a person that ever kept it. God has always saved on one basis alone, and that's on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And before he came, men brought a sacrifice. They brought it by faith. Abel knew the little lamb never took away sin, but he knew that little lamb pointed to the one that God had told his mother about, that the seed of the woman would come and bruise the serpent's head, and he believed that. He believed God. That was the way. Now, will you notice, friends, and Simon Peter says, to tell the truth, why don't we admit it? We don't keep the law. I want to repeat this again because I think it's important to say. I know nothing that'll make a hypocrite out of a person than this pretension that you are living a life on a high plane and well-pleasing to God. That you're keeping the Sermon on the Mount, you're keeping the law, and it's just hotsy-totsy. For you. You are it, my friend. I want to say it to you, and I wish I could look you in the eye and say it. Why are you pretending? Why don't you admit you're a lost sinner? That you do not please God, you have no capacity for Him, and why don't you go to Him in faith and trust Christ as your Savior, come as a sinner, and He'll receive you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the way I came. Everybody I've ever met that's ever been saved had to come that way. Saul of Tarsus came like that. The Ethiopian eunuch came like that. They've all come like that, friends, that have come to him. Now, will you notice what he says here? we shall be saved, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And Simon Peter puts it so nicely. He says, we're going to be saved just like they're going to be saved. And Simon Peter says, and he still didn't eat pork at this particular time, but he says, I'm not saved because I don't eat pork. I'm saved because I've trusted Christ, saved by the grace of God. Now, will you notice, verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. I wish I could have heard those two men. In fact, I wish I could have sat in on the Council of Jerusalem. Been wonderful. And these men, Paul and Barnabas now, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And they had quite a story to tell. Paul was raised from the dead. They have quite a story to tell. These are the apostles. They had the sign gifts. And we don't have apostles today, and we don't have sign gifts. We have a lot of things today, friends, that are taking our minds and hearts off the person of Jesus Christ. It's just all experience, experience. You've had an experience. Well, the experience is, what does Jesus Christ mean to you today? Now, will you notice, we come now to a summation of all of this, and next time is when we are going to go into detail. But apparently James now, and this James, of course, apparently took the place of James, the brother John, who had been put to death. And this James, apparently, well, there's some question of who he is. Was he the other James, the less now, who become James the leader? Or is this the one who wrote the epistle of James who might have been another James, if you please? And again, we're going into all of this when we get to the epistle of James. Probably I ought to stop and say this at this juncture. I believe that the proper way of studying the book of Acts and the historical books of the Old Testament, like the double books of Samuel, the two Samuels, the two Kings, the two Chronicles, to take the prophets who prophesied during the different reigns. And when you come to, for instance, the reign of Hezekiah, then bring and study Isaiah. They go together. And very frankly, from here on in the book of Acts, it would be well to pull in the epistles. We've already made a reference to Galatians, and this would be a good place with chapter 14 and 15 would be to study now the epistle to the Galatians. We're not doing it that way, but very candidly, that would be the proper way to do it. And actually, the epistle of James would come in very nicely here because this man is summing up, and the question is not, what James is it? It's James, and we'll leave it at that. Now, verse 13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, actually, what James does is he sums up the thinking of this council of Jerusalem, and he puts down God's program for the future. Now, for them who stood there with their nose pressed right up to the window of the opening of a new dispensation, very candidly, they had their problems. There are a lot of people still having their problems with the fact that a new dispensation is opened up. And that this is something that's quite wonderful, that the day of Pentecost brought into existence the church. That's the thing that's important. Let's don't wash back over Pentecost. Something happened at the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, we can look forward to our next study to understand a bit more of what happened that day the church began, and perhaps even more exciting, what'll happen next in God's prophetic calendar. You know, Dr. McGee loved to teach about prophecy, and if you're like me, you love to hear about it. And that's why we wanted you to know about our inventory sale. You can pick up our book, J. Vernon McGee on Prophecy, for just $5 each while supplies last. We recently realized that we want to get each book in our inventory off our shelves and into your hands. So you can see the complete list of titles online at ttb.org/shop or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. We're back on the road through Acts tomorrow as the Bible bus returns to your neighborhood. See you then.
Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.